everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me is Charles W. Punkin Bryant. Yeah, doing his cheeks.
That's how you know I'm in the hizzy.
That's twice right there, Coolio.
Uh-huh. This is double good luck.
Okay. Well, good. Then this should probably be a pretty good podcast.
Which means we are doomed.
Yes.
Josh, before we get going, can I just mention a little TV show coming up?
The Road to Punkin' Chunkin' and Punkin' Chunkin' itself.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, Josh, is Thanksgiving night, if you're bored after your turkey, on the Science Channel.
Uh-huh. Starting at 8 p.m. 8 Eastern time, right?
Yeah. So, insert clever intro.
Chuck, have you ever been a hostage?
No.
Nor have I.
I would remember that, I think.
I'll bet you would.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Inside Man?
No. Was that, which one was that?
Denzel.
No, I didn't see that.
Clive Owen.
I wanted to.
Dude, that is...
Is it?
In my opinion, I haven't seen Dog Day Afternoon, but I think it's the greatest hostage movie ever made.
You haven't seen Dog Day Afternoon?
No, Chuck, I'm not 70 like you.
Oh, I forgot that they burned all the copies in 1985 when you were born.
In the great fire started by Al Pacino!
Hoo-ah. Dog Day Afternoon was gold. You should check it out.
I will check it out.
You know, a 100-year-old movie.
No, I'm sure it's good. That was Pacino at his prime.
Sure.
Yeah, before he just went absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Neither one of us has been a hostage.
Or seen each other's movies.
Right. But, no, we've both seen War Games.
Oh, yeah, true.
I can imagine that if either one of us were a hostage,
mm-hmm.
there would be a hostage negotiator outside.
Right. I would be dead pretty soon, I think, if I were a hostage.
As a pizza delivery person could have delivered that segue better than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 30 minutes or less.
Yeah.
So, Josh, let's talk about hostage negotiation. I can't say that word.
Negotiations. Yes, Chuck, let's.
It is, there's a few things going on. Usually the hostage taker is, wants something. They
yeah.
want money, or they want to free their, brothers that are political prisoners,
mm-hmm.
or, they want safe passage or something like that.
Right, or they want, you know, some country to stop some policy it
sure,
has.
Sure.
You know.
And, usually the target of the hostage taker is not the hostage, but some other third party.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll get to the exception on that.
Okay, good. And I was chomping at the bit right there.
I know. Finally, they are, hostages are usually only bargaining chips that have symbolic value.
Right.
So
like,
those,
for
those
example,
the
1972 Olympic Games in Munich.
Yes.
The hostages there had some serious symbolic value. They were, Israeli athletes.
Yep.
And, what kind of terrorists?
Well, the target was the Israeli government, clearly not the athletes. They were the pawn, the symbolic pawn.
Much like in the 1972 Olympics in Munich, the
right.
hostage crisis that happened there over, a 24-hour period.
Sure.
A bunch of Palestinian terrorists took some Israeli athletes hostage, and they were targeting Israel.
Yeah.
So these were very symbolic pawns, I guess, as you put them.
Right. Did you see Munich? Did you see
oh,
Munich?
My God, it's a good movie.
Yeah, man, that's a good one. And so, Josh, now we can move on to the phases of a hostage situation.
Okay.
The initial phase.
So, Chuck, yes. All right, let's dramatize this a little bit.
Okay. The initial phase.
Yeah. We're just a group of people hanging out in, say, a bank.
Sure.
We'll do a bank.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, a bunch of guys come through the door, kicking off what's known as...
the initial phase.
Right, like you said already. Right? And what's the initial phase, Chuck?
It is a initial stage of panic and violence.
Usually,
where they subdue the hostages, and it's very chaotic.
So during the initial phase, they come in, everybody get on the floor. Right?
Right.
And then they bar the doors, and
sure.
The initial phase is very brief.
Right.
Did you like my machine gun?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Then comes the negotiation phase, and that's when Johnny Law comes on the scene, and that's generally called the standoff phase.
Right, and this is almost always the longest phase of a hostage situation.
Yeah, this is when all the negotiation is taking place.
This
which
is when
we'll get to.
They send in pizza boxes with little cameras, and
right.
people are, have to pee, and
sure.
The negotiator's saying, if there's a pregnant woman in there, let her out, that
right,
kind
right,
of
right.
stuff. Right?
This is when people have to pee.
Yeah.
That's a good one. And then the final phase is the termination phase, and you got a few different results that can happen here. Either the hostage takers surrender and they're arrested, or the police kind of mount an assault and kill them or arrest them,
mm-hmm.
or their demands are granted and they get away.
Yeah, and the second one is actually what happened, actually a combination of two and three is what happened in Munich. As anybody who's seen the movie knows, the West German police are like, we can't take these guys. We need to let them think that they're actually going to escape and get them to the airport.
Right.
All the hostages were killed along with a pilot and a police officer. The rest of the hostage takers, the Palestinian terrorists, were killed except for three who were captured.
Right.
It was a bloodbath, basically.
Well, I thought they were hunted down later. Isn't that what Munich was about?
The people who engineered it.
Oh, okay.
Were supposedly hunted down later by the Mossad.
Right. Eric Bana.
Yes, who is just clearly Mossad material.
Yeah. The yeah. Australian Mossad.
Yeah.
Those are the three phases. And during the second phase is when the negotiator comes on the scene.
Right. And... if you've ever seen the movie The Negotiator, you're clearly disappointed.
Uh-huh.
but there was something that is very characteristic of hostage negotiation, and that is it's a very important point that the hostage negotiator not be the lead commander on the scene.
Right.
And why, Chuck?
Well, because for a couple of reasons. One is that the negotiator doesn't need to be multitasking right then. They need to have all their focus on talking to and talking down the hostage taker. That's one reason.
That's part of it. They also one of the great tactics that hostage negotiators use is to stall, and they prolong the situation.
That seems like the main tactic.
Right.
It's just to buy time.
One of the tactics they use to create that tactic is to say, well, I can't make that call. I've got to talk to somebody else. And if it's common knowledge that the hostage negotiator actually is commanding the scene, then that doesn't really work.
Right. They'll say, you can pull the trigger on that because you're the boss.
Exactly. And they're like, no, don't use that phrase.
Right. That's in every movie. Every single hostage movie is that scene where they go, well, I just can't give you a 747 full of gold bars, dude. I got to get clearance from Fort Knox, and that's going to take at least a day.
Right.
So you might want to lower your demands, which is actually another reason they stall, is to try and chip away at the demands.
Right. So the negotiator's on the scene, and he's trying to prolong the situation. Like you said, they're trying to lessen the demands. They're also they also stall and prolong the situation by getting the hostage takers to focus on some minute and really unimportant details.
Yeah, I like this. They try to derail them.
So like the 747, what kind of 747 do you want? Is it okay if it was built before 1998?
Right.
Because we've got some that are built after that, but then they have this seating arrangement.
Sure.
And that might be a problem for you. And all of a sudden you're distracting the hostage taker from the crisis at hand.
Right.
And he's thinking about what kind of 747
yeah,
he wants,
exactly.
You know?
I could just see the guy putting his hand over the thing and going, what kind of plane do we want? He's asking about seat configurations. I have no idea.
Right, exactly.
So all of a sudden they hang up, and then you've bought some time.
Right, and not only not every hostage taker wants a 747, but this can also be applied to even more minute details, like what do you want on your pizza? You know, well, I mean, do you really want bell pepper because you're getting onion already, and sometimes it's too crunchy. I imagine there's a point where if you're talking to a hostage taker and you try the bell pepper onion combo to stall, they're going to pick up on what you're doing.
Or if they've read this article or ever seen a hostage movie.
Sure, that's another good
point. They would probably be wise to say, well, it sounds to me like you're trying to buy some time here.
Right.
Bang.
And bang, indeed. Which is what the hostage negotiator does not want to happen.
No, that's number two on their list. One is to prolong it, and while they're prolonging it, we should mention that they're trying to get information, as much information as possible on who the person is, how many there are, what frame of mind they're in,
right.
If they're unstable, if they're violent, any kind of clue that can help them out.
Right, because a hostage negotiator is going to talk differently. They're not going to try that bell pepper onion thing
right.
on like a very cool, calculated Clive Owens type.
No.
But they might on somebody who's like just out of his mind crazy because
sure.
his wife is leaving him.
Right.
Which is actually the most common hostage situation, is a domestic dispute that's turned into some guy with a gun barricading he and his family
right.
in their home.
Yeah, you usually think of the big movie scenario with some foreign enemy taking all these people hostage, but it's usually just a regular old domestic scene, and the worst ones, man, the worst ones are those you see on the news where you see some dude's got a baby acting as a human shield.
Who does that?
You've never seen that?
No.
Oh, man, it's the worst. Watch some of those cop shows, those true crime shows.
A baby as a human shield?
Yeah,
do they have like a gun to the baby's
these guys,
head?
It's like the dad is out of his mind and on drugs or something, and he'll have his baby, and it's the worst thing in the world to watch unfold.
Wow.
Very disturbing.
I'll bet.
In fact, don't go see that, Josh.
Okay.
That'll keep you up at night.
I bet it will. Hey there, are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals. But you can drink water as clean as nature intended.
Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain, everybody. This rain is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants commonly found in groundwater.
Yep, Richard's Rainwater is naturally pure with no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing.
And you can enjoy the clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And we even have a special offer, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, text STUFF to 25129288 87, and you'll get $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Sip the sky. Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.
So that is the most common type of thing is domestic. But back to the safety of the hostages. That's number two on the list of the negotiators to keep everyone in there alive.
Right. I would think it'd technically be number one.
Well, prolonging the situation, I think, leads to number one. So they're kind of tied.
Right. So what you want to do if you're a negotiator and you are chipping away at demands. First of all, you're trying to get the 747 out the window or the gold bars from Fort Knox.
Sure.
But you're really trying to get to the heart of what does this guy want? He wants a 747 and he wants gold bars. Well, he wants to escape and he wants some money.
Right.
So maybe it can be dealt with on a lesser level. But first,
right.
let's get you some food in there. But to get you some food, I need a hostage.
You right.
want to get as many hostages out as possible. Number one, to ensure the safety of the hostages, as you said.
Right.
But number two, for when an assault comes, if it does come, there's a lot fewer hostages in there that the police need to not shoot.
Right.
You know?
Plus the hostage, did you just say this? The hostage can turn, if they release someone who's like ill or pregnant, they can give them information, insider information.
Right. Like even to create an even more distinct psychological profile, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you were talking about the lessening the demands. Like, we can't get you a 747 and gold bars. And it really, I could see that throwing the hostage taker into a tizzy if all of a sudden they have to decide, well, will you take a helicopter and a cashier's check? That kind of thing.
Right, yeah, well, actually, I hadn't thought of it before, but yes, yes, I will.
Way to go. Will you endorse it beforehand?
Right, yeah. Let's go to the bank. Oh, I'm in a bank. Awesome, yes. Bring me that cashier's check, please.
So, number three on their list is to keep everything calm. You don't want to upset a hostage taker.
No.
You want to keep everything nice and chill.
Especially following the initial phase, that initial assault. The guy's all jacked up on, like, adrenaline.
Sure.
He's a little crazy. All of a sudden, it's starting to sink in. If he accidentally took hostages, it's starting to sink in, like, oh, my God, I am a hostage taker now.
Right.
This is a little nuts.
Right.
So you want to keep the guy calm, or the guys or the gals calm, especially if it was a Bader-Meinhof experiment.
No idea what that is.
It's actually the there's a movie out called the Bader-Meinhof Complex, I think.
Really?
And they actually introduced terrorism to the Western world.
Wow.
It was a group of Germans.
Look at you.
German radicals.
Is Kevin Spacey
basically
in it?
Bored kids that really? Introduced things like skyjacking and
wow.
stuff like that. They were crazy.
Crazy. So Josh, the fourth thing, and this was my favorite one actually. One of the goals of the hostage negotiator is to get the hostage taker and the hostages to work together, to give them some task where they have to interact, like delivering the pizza. So send out your most agreeable hostage mm-hmm. that you trust the most to get the pizza and bring it in. So all of a sudden the hostage taker has to talk to the hostages mm-hmm. and say, hey, we need you to go and get the pizza because we can't go within the sniper range. And the more you get them interacting, the more chance that the hostage taker sees the hostage as a human.
Right.
Instead of just blindfolding them and putting them in the corner.
Right, and shooting them in the head.
Well, yeah, that too.
There was actually a very famous case of that in 1975. Some hostage takers took over a subway train or a train in Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy named Robert de Groot was about to be executed, Chuck. And apparently they allowed him to pray first.
Yeah.
And they heard him praying for his wife and children. And it got them so bad that they just couldn't execute the guy. So they actually fake executed him.
Right.
The standoff continued, and when it came time to execute more hostages, they didn't give him a chance to pray and just actually executed him.
Yeah, and I'm sure they pushed him off the train, and he rolled down the hill and like faked like he was dead.
Right.
And I'm sure the rest of the hostages were like, thanks, Bob.
Yeah, right. Now, the Groot!
Now we don't even, not only can we not pray, but we're getting a bullet in the head.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that. Like, this is... You feel so removed from it. The weird thing about being a hostage is, like, no one plans on being a hostage. It just happens all of a sudden.
Sure.
And imagine dying on a train on some track in Holland by being executed by some hostage taker during a standoff. What a crap way to die.
I know. You're right on the money there, brother.
Yeah. So, Chuck, I think it's pretty damn pretentious of us to have not brought up Stockholm Syndrome yet, don't you?
Yeah, go ahead. Identifying with your captor.
Yeah, it actually came out of a bank robbery in, I think, 1980 or 81
uh-huh.
In Stockholm, appropriately enough. And this bank robber's plan just kind of went to crap. And I've been, like, using pseudo bad words all day. It's stupid.
Weird.
This bank robber's plan kind of went to pot.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, he was a hostage taker, right? Well, the standoff continued. And strangely enough, the hostages started helping him. They were serving as lookouts. They were giving him advice on how to escape and
right.
how to deal with the negotiator and all that. And that's kind of odd if you think about it. So why would people suffer this, what they call Stockholm Syndrome?
Well, there's a lot of psychological reasons for it. defense mechanism, coping type of thing.
Well, yeah, if you feel powerless in a situation like that, you go to whoever has the power, and when you're a hostage, your hostage taker has the power.
Yeah, and the other thing it mentioned, too, is that if you're not killed and there are other hostages are killed, you feel such a sense of relief that can actually morph into sympathy.
It's kind of like, remember we did the brainwashing podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good one.
Thanks.
You want to talk about countries and some famous... non-negotiating countries.
Yeah, do you remember the 80s? It was like planes were getting hijacked everywhere,
yeah,
all over
thing.
The place.
Uh-huh.
Bader-Meinhof.
Yes, the United States, Russia, and Israel are all very well known for having a non-negotiating policy with hostage takers and terrorists.
France had the opposite.
Yeah, it didn't work out for them, though.
No, it didn't. France became very quickly a target for hostage taking. because France would apparently be like, what do you want? Ha, ha, ha.
Right. And apparently sometimes, and this doesn't surprise me, the countries that refuse, quote unquote, refuse to negotiate, mm-hmm. there might be some secret negotiations that happen that they never let out because that would destroy their front that they won't negotiate.
Right. And France also apparently had a little problem with forming agreements with hostage takers, and then the hostage takers would break the agreements, which is crazy. Can you believe it?
What a bunch of louse.
So there is a an equilibrium. Chuck loves equilibrium, but there is an equilibrium between not negotiating at all and over-negotiating.
Right.
And I think that's what you're talking about. It's kind of like negotiating on the down low and never talking about it.
Right.
And then hunting the people down who did this and murdering them.
Right.
So, Chuck, let's talk about what happens when you just absolutely refuse to negotiate, as we've seen actually in the 21st century, sadly enough, twice in Russia.
Yeah, a couple of famous occurrences there with the Muslim Chechen separatists.
Mm-hmm.
In 2002, they took over a theater in Russia, threatened to blow it up, and so the Russians go in and...
Under who?
Who was it?
Putin, you think?
Oh, okay.
The guy who wrestles tigers with his shirt off in front of news cameras?
Right.
Doesn't that bear his hallmark?
Yeah, they decide to storm the theater and send in some knockout gas instead of negotiating, and they ended up killing all... I don't know if it was all of them, but 129 hostages died.
129 from the knockout gas.
From the knockout gas.
That's not knockout gas. That's death gas.
I think that's what you mean by knockout.
I don't think so,
They just don't want to call it death gas.
Maybe so. My eyes are open now because I didn't realize that was a euphemism.
The other one, Josh, was really, really sad. I remember this one well.
Yeah, me too.
In 04 when the same Chechen separatist invaded an elementary school with guns and bombs and locked himself up in a gym. And Russia would not negotiate, and 300 of the hostages were killed.
Yeah.
That was awful.
And half of them were kids.
Yeah.
When they blew up the gymnasium.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Listen up, Putin.
Yeah, but you maintain your toughness.
Right, yeah.
We're not going to negotiate. Just kill the kids.
Yeah.
Hey there, are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals. But you can drink water as clean as nature intended.
Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain, everybody. This rain is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants commonly found in groundwater.
Yep, Richard's Rainwater is naturally pure with no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing.
And you can enjoy the clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And we even have a special offer, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, text STUFF to 2512928887, and you'll get $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Sip the sky. Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.
Okay, so Chuck, you okay there?
Yeah, I'm good. A little riled up, but I'm good.
Let's talk about a hostage situation that actually went relatively well, at least compared to Russia.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it. I know what you're going to talk about.
Well, there is a very famous incident at Prince's Gate in London in April 1980.
Uh-huh.
Members of the Democratic Revolutionary Movement for the Liberation of Arabistan.
They might want to change that name.
It's a mouthful,
acronym.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically, Arabistan is an Iranian province, and the group wanted to liberate it, clearly.
Sure.
And they were Democrats, I guess.
Maybe.
But there were 20 of them, and they took, no, there were 6 of them. And they took 26 hostages
right.
at the U.S. Embassy in London
yeah.
at Prince's Gate.
Yeah.
So there was a standoff that lasted quite a while. The hostage negotiator did this by the book, kept the hostage takers focused on details like what kind of food do you want, that kind of thing.
Right. I'm thinking Thai.
Yeah, maybe. I'm in the mood for Thai. I could go for a nice curry buna.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That's Indian, though. That's good stuff, by the way, if you've ever had it.
I'll try it.
They actually did execute one hostage, but the other hostages apparently reported that this guy decided to get into a debate over Islam with Iranian terrorists, which you don't do in a hostage situation.
Keep your mouth shut if you're a hostage.
The negotiator actually did manage to get the release of two ill hostages. Maybe one of them was pregnant. Sometimes we replace ill with pregnant, which I don't understand.
And they got info from them.
Yeah, and so basically the one thing that really wasn't by the book was that the SAS got which is the Special Forces in Great Britain.
Yeah, they're bad, dude.
They are bad. I have a friend who's in that.
Really?
Yeah. I can't say his name here.
Okay.
They got the hostage negotiator to talk to the hostage takers on the phone right before the assault, knowing the assault was coming as a distraction.
Right. That doesn't happen much.
Not usually. And why?
Because they don't let the negotiator in on this kind of information because they think that they would compromise the job just through maybe even inflection or tone of their voice. They would give it away.
Right.
On purpose, of course.
No, certainly not.
Yeah.
Very few hostage negotiators experience Stockholm syndrome, I imagine.
That'd be a bad negotiator.
Yeah, definitely. They just mentally crumble at the first sign of trouble. But it actually paid off. The hostage negotiator kept the lead guy away from the window, and the SAS stormed the building.
Boom.
Two tap, I imagine, five of the guys and arrest the sixth.
Yep. Not bad. And I think they only lost one other hostage. Out of the 26, which is not bad.
No, but I mean, if you storm a building in a hostage situation, it's like, well, yeah, that guy lost his life and another guy lost his life.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, but that's actually a really good percentage, I would imagine.
Sure.
I mean, I wonder I would guess the 2004 Russian standoff is probably a bit as bad as it can get.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
One thing we mentioned there that I thought was pretty interesting was you mentioned the Stockholm syndrome, but that is actually a tactic that the negotiator will use, sort of a good cop, bad cop thing. They'll get on the phone or however they're communicating and say, yeah, you know, they'll try and relate to them. I kind of see where you're coming from. I understand this police captain does not understand where you're coming
right,
from.
Right, yeah.
And he wants to mow you down.
Right.
So talk to me, man, and we'll work it out between us.
Chuck, you would make an excellent hostage negotiator.
I just realized that.
I wish I had a hostage I could give to you right now. That was good.
Oh, I'd just offer you a six-pack and you'd throw down your gun. It'd be all over.
Pretty much, and some smokes.
But that's a pretty cool trick there. I like that. Of course, again, this is straight out of the movie, so if any hostage taker has ever seen any of these films, then they should be one step ahead of the negotiator.
I would think so.
I would think so, too.
There's another example of not going by the book that I wanted to mention.
What's that?
In 1975, at the U.S. consulate in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, there was a hostage situation, and apparently the Japanese Red Army, or members of the Japanese Red Army, attacked the consulate and took hostages. So the terrorists actually called the authorities to tell them that they had the hostages, and some junior officer at the embassy, elsewhere in the embassy, picked up the phone, and from that point on, for the rest of the standoff, they wouldn't talk to anybody else but this junior officer.
Wow.
Yeah, who is not a trained hostage negotiator, and is just like, oh, God.
Well, he probably has an earwig in the other ear.
Right. Well, no, there was a negotiator on the scene, like, coaching the junior officer, but yeah.
I also saw in the article where there's always a secondary negotiator on hand
because sometimes they freeze.
Yeah, sure, because you're basically improvising. You got to be quick on your feet, and if all of a sudden you're going, I had da ba da da ba, you need someone to step in and say, tell them that we'll send them pizza.
That first one sounded exactly like Kevin Spacey in The Negotiator.
I didn't see that. Wasn't there some stupid twist where he was, in fact, in on it or something?
I don't remember. I blocked it out of my memory.
All right, that might have been spoiler. Of course, you're supposed to say spoiler beforehand, but whatever.
Yeah, well, we are pretty much done here with hostage negotiation. We're going to leave a whole section untouched on becoming a hostage negotiator.
Sure.
You can find that in the article, How Hostage Negotiation Works. You can type in hostage, I imagine, on the handy search bar at howstuffworks.com. Which means it's time for listener mail.
No, Josh.
No.
Not today.
Okay.
No listener mail. We're going to do a little Kiva update. like we are wont to do.
Okay.
So you want to go ahead and give the plug?
Yeah, man. We started a Kiva team. Kiva.org, K-I-V-A.org, is a micro-lending website, a socially responsible one, which means you don't make any interest on your loans. But you can loan as little as $25 to people in developing countries, and now the U.S.
Sure.
Entrepreneurs who are trying to become self-sufficient through their businesses. They're little tiny loans that make a huge difference elsewhere in the world.
Indeed.
We are kicking bottom on this.
We are, man. And I'm proud of the Stuff You Should Know Army, because you guys are responding, and this is really, really cool. We challenged the Colbert Report, or I like to call it the Colbert Report.
Yes.
And we actually made a video where we chastised him.
Yeah, which you probably never see, but just know this. If you watch the Colbert Report, scoff while you watch it.
Right.
Thinking of Chuck and I in the Stuff You Should Know Army.
People have responded in a big way, and it's going great. And hopefully the Colbert Report will take notice, because that will make even more money for Kiva, and it might get us on his show.
Chuck is just chomping at the bit to get on his show. So, well, if you want to join the Stuff You Should Know Kiva team...
Please do.
Please do. You can go to www.kiva.org/team/stuffyoushouldknow, and that will take you right there. Plus, there's a pretty picture of Chuck on there.
Yeah, me and Emily, actually. It's a picture of... we have, you know, she's on my team.
I was talking about our picture.
Oh, no. On the member page, though, if you're curious of what my wife and I look like together, then you can surf through the member page and
good-looking
find
couple.
It.
Is that the one that's your screensaver on your iPhone, too?
Yeah, it's one of the best pictures I have of us.
It's very nice.
Thank you.
And how about the blogs real quick?
Yeah, we both run a blog, and I've been a little lazy with it lately. I'm going to get back off the schneid. You can access the blog on the blogs page, which you can find on the right side of the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Right.
I just barely spit that out. So that's where you can find it.
Yeah.
Go interact.
Yes, go interact. It's a pretty cool blog. We like it a lot. If you have an email, or if your name is Aisha Tyler and you have never listened this far before in a podcast, you can send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids, because let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.